Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Bloody Knuckle Show, BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by, yes, ourselves. We are some self-sustaining motherfuckers. Shout out to 319 Wine and Cheese, my place, my business, the best wine, the best cheese, the best food in the great Tallahassee area. And of course, Warriors-Fit on Instagram. That's where you will see me doing all sorts of feet of fitness and living the healthy lifestyle. Tonight on the program, we're basically freestyling, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about everything, every sport.
Ryan.
What up, world? Apologize about the technical difficulties. Cut off on the intro. Apologize, folks. But welcome to the Bloody Knuckle Show. As I was saying, BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by ourselves. And it's, of course, 319 Wine and Cheese, my shop, my place, best wine, best cheese, best food in the great Tallahassee area. And, of course, Warrior-Fit on Instagram. Check me out doing all sorts of great stuff and live a healthy life. On the show with me tonight, I have the man with goddamn phone troubles. Get a better service, man. Get a better service.
Fuck
this
Sprint.
Is.
Fuck Sprint.
Goddamn Sprint. Isn't that the one where the guy left the company to go to the other company? God damn it. Anyway, it's my boy, the man, the myth, the legend, Percy Love. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? Again, folks, you know, we do apologize for technical difficulties. The late start, Sprint is really letting me down. I stay running and think I'm going to be giving Verizon a call. However, yo, 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 what it do to the fans? Very excited. It is Friday night, the start of the weekend, and on the fifth day, God created Friday to save us all from the corporate devils. Very happy. And Ryan, just something else to throw in there, talking about 319, I think you can also add the best live music in Tallahassee and, of course, the best wine sommelier, Mr. Ryan Edwards himself. Fellas out there looking to get a bottle of wine for your girl, don't know what to get, want something nice, go see my boy Ryan at 319. He will take care of you, and I guarantee those panties will be dropping at the end of the night. But, Ryan, I am, you know, a little bittersweet right now. You know, Summer League just ended. You know, we have a kind of a shitty MMA event on tomorrow night. Kind of a downtime in sports. But, Ryan, in times like this, I am very grateful we do have mixed martial arts in our lives because it is a year-round sport, a year-round spectrum. So, very excited about all that. Before, because we got a lot of great NBA news to talk about.
We definitely have to touch on some trade rumors, of course, and stuff that we didn't get to last time. And also, I think we should throw in our, you know, before, whenever we do touch, because I know you are steering the show as you do, but just jumping in at some
real
point.
Real quick, I had a question for you.
Yeah, at some point, just try to get our East-West early NBA power rankings in on the program. And maybe some, what would you do if you had to build a new big three with players that are not KD and LeBron?
I am game. That sounds like a blast. But real quick, just a couple MMA questions before we delve into the NBA. Ryan, I had to bring it up to you. This one kind of took me out of left field, especially with the 2-year ban. So, you know, it kind of shows what he was taking was serious. But Chad Mendes, of all people, suspended 2 years for human growth hormones. And we see Brock Lesnar failed his second test. But I'm a little confused because I thought he got some exemption. I don't think it was a surprise to anyone that he failed a drug test for roids. So, Ryan, a couple things I want to ask you. One, how shocked were you when you saw this with Chad Mendes? Now, looking back at it, do you think it explains a lot, you know, with Chad Mendes? Do you think this is the end of his career now, 2-year ban, obviously going to use a good part of his prime? And what does this kind of show about the guy's career as a whole? You know, he could never break through and beat the upper echelon, you know, i.e. the McGregors or the Aldos. And it turns out the guy was juicing. Question two I wanted to ask, what do you think about Brock? Can Brock even fight again? Is he done? Is he a joke? What's going on with that? Should he even be allowed to fight, even though we all love watching him fight and he's a great draw? But what are your thoughts on that? And third, Ryan, we got to eat a little crow on this too, because we were clamoring for this type of drug testing, but I got to say, it's a real thorn in the side, and I think it's due to it not being regulated, you know, with the stuff, or there's too much stuff. So I know I just threw a lot of shit at you right there, my friend.
Yeah.
But let me just get, you know, some of your thoughts on those fighters in the state of the whole drug testing right now in mixed martial arts.
As I'm sipping on my Brotherhood Riesling from the great state that you are in, Andrew, New York. Shout out to New York. Yes. Premium Riesling, it really is. It's great stuff. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen, if you want a good bottle of wine. I'm sipping on it, enjoying this weather. But I got to say, Andrew, I'm going to reverse it and go first to kind of further the points that I'm going to have to make on the other guys. What this drug testing is doing is it's basically showing us all that in MMA, are we going to have a pre-drug testing ranking of fighters or a pre-drug testing trial on these fighters? And
the
then
top
a
10 clean fighters and the top 10 dirty fighters?
Yes, exactly. Is it going to start being, I mean, because if we look back now with all the drug testing going on, how can we say that Brock Lesnar was one of the best heavyweights of all time, which before this all came out, which you have to think about it, Brock Lesnar has to be looking back and thinking, God damn, I should have maybe, I know it was a big payday, but maybe I should have never came back for UFC 200 because, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think Brock is the fuck what we think about him, and that's one thing that makes him different. He makes his money and just does whatever the fuck he wants. I mean, the guy came out and said he was a Canadian for UFC 200. I mean, he's just crazy. I mean, he's a psychopath. That's what makes him Brock Lesnar. And he's a big, ugly motherfucker with a dick on his chest. I mean, how could you not be on steroids getting a motherfucking dick on your chest? You're on something. But anyway, like you were saying, Andrew, it's like basically we're going to have a pre-drug test and a post-drug test era. And, I mean, if there's this strenuous of testing in other sports, I would love to see what would happen because guys like me,
it's
you know,
like
Andrew.
The NFL.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew, you know my athletic career. I mean, if everyone was on even playing fields, I mean, people, normal guys would look like me working hard and, you know, have the average body type, but when you go into a gold gym near you, all of a sudden you see guys with veins popping out of their foreheads. Those are the guys juicing. And yes, I think MMA is starting to look back and say, maybe this wasn't the best thing ever because UFC 200 now is something with an ugly yellow ring and the two biggest stars involved in the company on the biggest pay-per-view platform available testing positive, and whoever just bought the UFC China, whatever the fuck it was.
Oh God, dude, Fertitta's made a quick move on that one, selling it right before all this.
They saw it coming from a mile away because basically you got a sport with a black eye, no pun intended, because I mean people are testing positive left and right. Who's going to be next? We see these guys, how they look. It's obviously not natural. You can't cut weight naturally anymore. You can't use IVs. Guys aren't going to be 220 pounds fighting at 170 anymore. The smart guys like GSP, who obviously, in my opinion, was on steroids and took a long time now trying to come back.
Maybe they're all finally out of the system by now.
Yeah. If Anderson Silva was on steroids, Jesus, well, he was on dick pills. So you can't even take dick pills in this sport. How depressed do you have to be an MMA fighter these days? You get punched in the head every day, and you can't even go home and take some dick pills when you have a little testosterone.
They might fail a test for Chinese with all the MSGs in it, for all we know. You can't even get some sweet and sour chicken or some sesame chicken these days. It's ridiculous.
No, you can't even take a goddamn Tylenol pill. It's crazy. And Holly Holm said she got drug tested 12 times, I think, this year. Imagine a random guy. And Chael Sonnen said it best. You have to be a pretty weird person if you choose your career path to be chasing around athletes. Getting them in a little room and then making them pee. Like watching them pull the dick out or pull the vagina out. Pee.
All summer 16. All summer 16. These fighters dirty, they ain't clean. I'm looking for some pee.
You can imagine their big calendar. All right, I'm going to see Chael Sonnen's dick on the 3rd. I'm going to see Brock Lesnar's dick on the 6th. No, I mean, it's just very weird. I mean, this new testing is showing us, one thing, how great Olympic athletes are. Well, we've seen how many of them have failed drug tests. But the ones who do it naturally, shout out to them.
Cheater. Who's the smartest cheater?
Yeah. I mean, isn't that what the sport has come to, every sport? Who is the best cheater in boxing? We still see it happening. And the UFC, let's face it, we're not dealing with the sharpest tools in the shed. And these guys definitely aren't going to figure out how to get away from this testing. To circle back, I think, yeah, the UFC is, well, who knows now, because the UFC, all these rules that have been implemented, including Reebok, you got to think these new owners are like, yo, Reebok, I know you guys are getting a lot of shit. We don't really want you anymore. Can we get out of this deal somehow? Hey, drug testing, can we just all take steroids? Can we write this into our new contract? You got to think that the Fertittas left this sport in a shamble. I'm going to put that on wax right now. They might have done great things for the sport, but, man, did they leave it in a fucking shamble on their way out, despite the high pay-per-view numbers, which might be inflated. We don't even know the true pay-per-view numbers.
Ryan, we see a Bellator move? Remember when Kimbo tested positive, RIP, before he died, and then they were just going to throw him on a card in Germany or something? Could we start to see more, you know, cards and outside of the United States for this style of testing? Did they take a page from Scott Coker's book?
No, because what they signed up for is worldwide.
Ah.
So they have fucking people in Dubai waiting to test fighters.
Coker's won that one.
Yes, very smart. He understands fighting sports and the fact that you have to have some kind of chemical in your body to want to get in the cage and beat the fuck out of somebody. And, you know, the question of, I thought you were going to hit me with the question, could we see Bellator, you know, maybe come up on the UFC? Lately, what I've seen, I mean, I have seen guys on the rise in Bellator, but Bellator needs to do something because they seem to be in shambles lately. The sport, I mean, not in shambles. MVP, we see them making big moves. They're building stars, but if the UFC is not strong, then Bellator is not strong. The sport needs the UFC to be a united front. And hopefully out of this deal, this new deal, maybe we'll get a fighters union that will fight back against some of this drug testing.
More yellow rings.
Yeah, for sure. Let's circle back to Chad Mendes. I mean, I understand the guy was on steroids. And let's face it, Andrew, I'm going to give – well, he's not your boy anymore, but
years
he was.
For his first offense, though. Like, he was doing
exactly.
Some serious.
This is what I was going to say. Offense? I'm going to circle back to when Jose Aldo knocked him out with that one knee. And I know me and you argued so much about, you know, that fight in general. And then the second fight. He was clearly a different animal. And do not say his striking coach was the reason that man grew 3 inches of traps and all of a sudden came into the cage eating raw meat. That was not the reason. He was obviously juiced to the gills on steroids.
It wasn't Dwayne Ludwig.
Yeah, Dwayne Ludwig was not just holding the pads. He was feeding him supplements in between the strikes. And there's no way he was taking those shots from Jose Aldo naturally. There's no way he knocked six people out straight naturally. He's not Conor McGregor. You only see in those type of weight classes, even at middleweight, Anderson Silva, I know he did test positive late in his career, but you only see that kind of special power from a few guys in boxing and MMA. And Chad Mendez just came out of nowhere as a wrestler, all of a sudden knocking people out left and right, taking shots from Jose Aldo, taking a beating from Conor McGregor before he got finished. And I think that really was his last gasp, because that was, I think, the official start of the drug testing.
And didn't he get knocked out by Edgar after that, too?
Yeah, and then after we see the drug testing, I think his body looked different, and he got knocked out by Edgar. But, Andrew, to circle back again, I know we keep circling and circling and circling like motherfucking Adrian Broner running from an opponent. Carlos Condit versus Nick Diaz. Run, baby, run. That's what I will be doing from these drug testers, which is interesting because I got to say something about Vanderlei Silva on the first drug test ever, but I'll get back to that.
Vanderlei was
There's
probably
no
smart
way you
running
can...
away.
There's no way you can suspend a guy 2 years for a first offense. I think that's ridiculous. And Andrew, tell me if you can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I can hear you a little more clearly. There's no way you can, get a guy 2 years, because if you look at it, these guys aren't making that much money in the first place. He's probably losing all of his sponsorships. Yeah, he's probably losing all of his sponsorships. And the fact is, you're taking away basically this guy's way of making a living. I understand he made a mistake. Yeah, 2 years, exactly. And this is like, Andrew, if you do fail drug tests in a corporate job, you're probably going to get fired. But let's just say you have to go without work for 2 years for failing that drug test. It doesn't make sense to me. If they do fail the drug test and they get suspended for 2 years, there should be an outlet of being able to go to 1FC or being able to go to Bellator. And they should be allowed to fight in America again if they fight clean. I don't think that, I think this should be a strictly UFC thing. If they're going by these rules, they're going by these rules. But I don't think America and all the athletic commissions should have to come along with it. And going back, that's what happened to Vanderlei Silva. And I finally got the real story of Vanderlei Silva real quick. Chael Sonnen, who was Vanderlei Silva's enemy, came out and said it. They didn't even know what this program was when it first started. And what they did was, and we saw Serena Williams, who locked herself in her panic room, Chael Sonnen got pulled into a closet. And the guy would not even show identification. He said who he was with.
Let me see that dick, boy.
Yeah, he basically said, pull out your dick.
Specimen you got there, Chael. A fine specimen.
pull out your dick, bud, and pulled out that measuring stick. Let me know. It has to go on record, Chael. I got to see how long you are, bud. Like you said, it was a creepy guy saying no identification and saying I have to take this drug test, blah, blah, blah.
Call 911 on him.
Exactly. And that's what Vanderlei Silva did. He said, fuck no, talk to my lawyer and identify yourself, and then I'll take the drug test. we all know Vanderlei Silva was not clean at all. He had more steroids in him than a goddamn horse going ready, like, you know, primitive going.
Yeah, more shit on him
than
a cow in a slaughterhouse or a chicken. A chicken in a slaughterhouse. So
he has more shit in his pockets, just supplements, than Connor Thompson has candy trying to get out of the Circle K. But anyway, let me circle back.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
Inside joke, ladies and gentlemen. But Vanderlei Silva said, talk to my lawyer, and this man refused. And that's basically what these drug test guys are doing. They're trying to be anonymous. They're creeping up on you. You have to be in the city that
like
you write down at your residence.
From like you know, the people who serve people for courts. Like, are you so-and-so? Yes, you've been served. I forget what they're called.
Yeah, that's basically, it's living
up
life
in disguises and stuff.
And you got to think about it. These fighters, some of them have, you know, cards that allow them to smoke weed, the Diaz brothers. That's just, we know they do. But there's so many others. Maybe there's an injury and some of them are on painkillers. And I know there's exemptions, but there could be a lot of mixtures out there. And some people were even saying John Jones, I know it wasn't the case, but he could have failed for Tylenol. And the fact that you can just fail for Tylenol shows you that there is a problem. I think they need to scale back, but you know what? If you're cheating,
I did think it was
cheating,
funny, Ryan, with the estrogen block, he was just, you know, tired of being a bitch.
I mean, that's the truth, man. Like, yeah, it, basically, John Jones was growing a vagina. He was so scared of Daniel Cormier. He had to, you know, he saw it coming out and he had to block that shit. You know what I'm saying? He saw them breasts growing. Is that what that was? He was taking so much steroids, he was growing breasts, so, you know, he had to get some.
Yeah,
I mean, it's ridiculous, Andrew. Now, let me say this, though. John Jones deserves a 2-year suspension. All this shit he has done.
Yeah, he's got a pretty long rap sheet.
I don't want to see John Jones in a cage again for a very long time. I think people should start coming to realization that
he's
got to
prove it first. Like, he needs to keep his nose clean for at least a year before I see fighting. We've given him enough chances. Now, no, you have to show me. No more chances. You have to just go out and do it. Keep your nose clean.
John Jones spit in our face when he came out and he said he was going to rehab and then left a day after. That was a spit in the MMA fan's face. He spit in our face when he canceled an event. And then he spit in our face again by failing the biggest drug test of his career. I mean, come on, you can't stay clean for the WWE on 4 weeks' notice. We all know he was going to be on steroids. We even questioned how he was going to get into this fight. And you got to say the Fertittas did a little dirty work so they could at least keep one of their guys on the card. Yeah, because they weren't going to lose Brock. It's one thing losing Jones, but if you lose Brock, you lose a lot.
Not McGregor, Jones, and Brock. That's just too much. Fucking Misha is your main event.
And
can you believe UFC, though, just a side note, UFC 200 solely by that main event? I know I have a lot of respect for women's martial arts, a lot of respect for Misha Tate. UFC 200 main event can't be Misha Tate.
You know what Dana White was trying to do with that? And I never got to say this, say what I thought about it on this program. He wanted to get Ronda Rousey out of retirement because there's nothing right now, I think Ronda right now is kind of in a permanent retirement. And what Dana White wanted to do was say, look, Ronda, Misha Tate, your rival, the person you hate the most, is going to celebrate in the middle of the octagon on our biggest pay-per-view and call you out. I think she might have even been in the crowd. Call you out in front of everybody, and she is our new biggest star. She is main eventing UFC 200. And what happened? It blew up in Dana White's face. But I think that was clearly a message to Ronda saying, Misha Tate is our new star. Look at Misha. She's the star of UFC 200. Because there was no reason why
more time
even
to
Jose,
give her a victory speech than training.
I mean, What a meltdown. The biggest meltdown in MMA history. You should take USC 200.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be one of the biggest disappointments ever for at least a defending champ.
And does that say really that Misha Tate is a bigger star than a 10-year champ Jose Aldo? Because why are you not putting Jose Aldo in that spot?
I'm going to have to say no on that. Misha Tate just, I don't know. I feel like, you know, maybe the outside public, she's hot, she's good looking, but I can't say she's a bigger star than Aldo. She's more of a joke, even though Aldo is a clown too. And Ryan, I feel like Aldo can't win. This something's just,
but no one even cared about
Aldo's
history. It was like a side
news. And Ryan, he, you know, Jose Aldo finally got another, you know, that was a good showing for Aldo. That was probably the best I've seen Aldo fight in
but no one
good
cared.
4 years. But yet, Ryan, I don't know if it's a language barrier. He comes out like an idiot a couple weeks later, bragging and dishing about how he had spies in Edgar's camp and how he has spies everywhere, discrediting his victory and his performance. I don't get it. The guy's a retard. Sorry, I shouldn't use the R word like that. But the guy is, I apologize, you know, if I offended anyone with that. I do apologize, but I mean, the guy is not smart, Ryan. You just had one of the best performances in years, and then you'd start dishing out how you have spies in camps, and that's why you look so good, because you spied out his game plan. You cheated. You pulled a Belichick. I don't get it. The guy's an idiot. Why would you even say that, Ryan, and discredit your victory?
The reason why Jose Aldo said that is the clear reason why he's such a big seller against Conor McGregor. Because he's such an easy target. The guy just, he talks himself into a corner. He's one of the biggest, I mean, this was the guy that was supposed to be the, exactly. He needs somebody else fighting for him, man. Like, coming out and saying there should be a 4-point line in the NBA. Phil, man, it's like, come on, Phil, stop. Every time you tweet, make the Knicks look bad, bro. And all the same thing. Stop. Beating, man, and the fact is, like, he propelled himself in this fight, but yet he was a forgotten thought, and then he comes out and says dumb stuff after, and I'm glad we finally got rid of the whole Frank Yeager is the best fighter ever, blah, blah, blah. No, he's not that great. He beat a bunch of bums. Let's all get over it.
Come on, dude.
Frank Yeager.
Misha Tate beat you out for the main event, bro. Come on.
Yeah, and to me, first off, yes, I think Misha is a bigger star than Jose Aldo, and that's a sad fact.
Well,
judging
by the main event, Ryan, that you would be correct, you know? They did give Misha the main event
but
over Aldo.
UFC 200, to me, was kind of ruined by the fact that, you know, Brock Lesnar wasn't the most entertaining fight, but that was the fight everyone kind of wanted to see. And I wasn't even that, you know, I thought I was going to be really pumped about Brock. But I wasn't going out of my way to stream that, like, fight. And then to follow it up with a girl nobody knows, shout out to her, she became champion, clearly was just glowing with the fact that she was champ and main eventing this event. I mean, Misha, something about her, man. I think
that's
it's Ryan Caraway. It's got to be the Caraway effect. I just hate her boyfriend. So it makes me hate her. And I know there's a huge legion of MMA fans that just hate the fact that she dates that douchebag and they're always together. Like, yeah, Travis Brown and Ronda Rousey are together, but they're not always together. Like, she wasn't with them on
and
fight
Travis
night
Brown
when he got destroyed by Shane Velasquez. Yeah, and Travis Brown is a Viking warrior that none of us are going to fuck with. Brian Kelly is a little bitch that gets away with,
Ryan,
you know.
Would you agree with this? You know, how crazy it would be. Think of all the aftermath. And then last weekend with Bellator, we saw Michael Venom Page probably deliver, has to be a top five knockout I've ever seen. And I don't know how Cyborg Santos is ever going to recover this from a man.
He has a pretty good ground game.
You get, for Cyborg, you get knocked out, your skull fracture and stuff, but then you get a pokeball thrown at you. You, as like a mixed martial arts fighter?
I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
How can you ever respond? Like, how can he ever? He's always going to remember the guy who got knocked out and then he got caught in a pokeball. You throw a pokeball. dude, Michael Venom Page made him his bitch. He beat him down, and he caught him in a pokeball. He's always going to remember the guy who got caught in a pokeball. That has to be one of the most embarrassing things ever in the sport.
He's still lying there. There's people in England following their little Pokemon trail, and they're finding Cyborg in the hospital with a dent in his head saying, please stop following me on your little Pokemon trail, please. But Michael Venom Page, he has to say this.
Where
about
would you
him.
Rank that KO, Ryan?
Top five of all. It's hard to say him off the top of my head, but
yeah,
the celebration, everything about
the
it.
Knees,
if that was UFC, I mean, the UFC right now would be saying Michael Venom Page is going to be one of the best ever. He would be on the Conor McGregor.
He'd be Dana's number two pound fighter.
Yeah, all of a sudden, he would be. And, you know, we're seeing Bellator really start to build their own hype machine around him, and I really like seeing that because he's not a UFC washup. He's an original point-fighting guy, kind of like Stephen Thompson, which would be a fight I would love to see two-point fighters fighting. Kind of similar styles. Michael Venom Page has a little bit better defense. Stephen Thompson has nasty knockout power. They both are karate fighters. It would be epic. Both 170. But Michael Venom Page not only seizes the moment in Britain, but he has the wherewithal. And knowing that he needs to do something else to make his name even bigger because he is in Bellator, throws the Pokemon ball during the Pokemon little craze that's going on right now.
Genius.
Making Cyborg
genius.
His bitch. That is what makes that kid a star, and that is what makes that kid rich the next time his Bellator contract is going to come around. Andrew, did you have any other UFC topics?
No, let's hurry up and get a little bit of NBA. I did, but fuck
I've got to throw this
NBA.
In, Andrew. Let's start it off here.
Other than, do you think Team Alpha Male is sullied from what happened with Mendez?
Team Alpha Male is garbage. All they have is Kat Zingano, or not Kat Zingano. I don't know how I've
confused those two. She's been losing a lot, too.
Paige VanZant is all they have. And we all know she's a pretty face, but she's going to get destroyed when she faces the top competition like she already did. And we don't want to see it. I just want to see her be hot. Become a ring girl, Paige VanZant. That's all I want you to do. Scotty, how are you fighting in the UFC? I just want to see these women get naked, Andrew. I don't want to see them beat each other up when they're that good looking. God damn it. Let me move on to a sport where we're not punching each other in the face. Andrew, a guy that should be in a sport that you're allowed to punch people in the face, Russell Westbrook. I know we've all talked his name to death, but we haven't too much time. The BK show. I know we talked about him to the Lakers, but a lot of GMs are talking. First off, the first part of it is if he is traded, it might be a guarantee to the Boston Celtics. But the other question is there's little rumors out there that not only does Russell Westbrook want to stay with Steven Adams and Victor Oladipo, but he wants to recruit the Oklahoma native, Blake Griffin, who has a problem with his team already, who's a free agent next year to Oklahoma City. First off, how much of a likelihood if you're the Thunder and you get offered that Brooklyn pick and you get offered Avery Bradley, maybe Isaiah Thomas, an all-star in the East, maybe Jay Crowder, a guy who can fill in nicely as a defender, and maybe if you're Boston, you can get a bounce back with Inez Kanter or Adams with Westbrook. How likely do you see a trade like that happening, and how powerful do you think Boston will be in the East if that happens? I'll answer too. And also, how good would OKC be, and how much of a risk is it if Russell Westbrook waits out? Do you think OKC could land a guy like Blake Griffin? And do you see that team competing with Golden State?
First of all, I'll answer the first one. If they do get if Boston was able to get Russ, they would go to the number two team in the East. He would easily be the second best player in the East. maybe the first best. Maybe the best with LeBron starting to slow up. But that would be, you know, one of those seismic moves that kind of shifts the landscape of the NBA. Yeah, and it also depends on, you know, what they give up, how much of their team. But you think they would be pretty damn loaded with him, Big Al, what's his name, at shooting guard. You think they'd keep one of Avery Bradley or Isaiah Thomas, and you got Marcus Smart. They would be extremely good. Ryan, here's, you know, some of the things I've been hearing. I know Russ loves it there. One report I heard him say, the fact that KD left and bounced, didn't get it done, made him want to stay there more. If I was OKC, I think if we see him moving, it's kind of risky too, because if they wait towards the deadline, you always run the risk of getting less. But you got to gauge Russ's interest. And if he is interested, play a little bit about, see how the season's going. You got to bring someone else with them. I don't know if they will, unless they have like a handshake or something from Russ with him pretty much saying, yeah, I'm going to come back, guys. Because I don't know how you can risk it going on a limb signing him and Blake, and that's their big move, unless it's something that gets talked about and pretty much agreed on during the season, because you can't just risk it. If they did bring in Blake, first of all, that would be a huge move. Would they be able to compete with Golden State? I do not know. Granted, I feel like Blake Griffin could be a nightmare for Golden State with his size and his athleticism. Granted, Draymond can play pretty good defense. But yeah.
And all the defense. With the defense.
He'd be a nightmare for them. But the one reason why this trade, I don't know, makes sense, I don't know what they could give to get him. You know, you think, you know, they're big.
Well, Blake would be a free agent.
Yeah, but I was thinking, like, what could they give up to get him? Maybe they'll do it surrounding an Ernest Cantor move. Very interesting.
Well, they wouldn't. They would sign him straight up with the KD money.
Oh, that would be big. But will
now they would have to. They would have to find a way to re-sign a restricted Steven Adams. Which, shout out to whoever the guy was arguing with.
Will Doc give him up? Will Doc give up?
Well, Blake's going to be a free agent, so he's going to have the ability to walk no matter what.
Yeah, is Doc going to dock it, refuse to trade him, and then is he going to bounce in the free agency? But I will.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It would be not next year, but the year after. So
if they get them, that would, you know, you look at the state of the East, some of these top teams getting old and, you know, starting to cry. If they were able to pluck Blake away, I don't know, they might be the second best team in the East. And I'm not going to say they can't, you know, basketball's crazy. Golden State is obviously the better team. But with all that talent, it would not shock me if they were able to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All that talent, you got Russ and Blake. Yeah, that team could take out anyone with those two.
Yeah, I got to say that it's hard for me because I got to say that, you know, Russell Westbrook to me looks like he could be coming the next Kobe Bryant. I know he's a little bit of a late bloomer, but Kobe Bryant also had 3 years after he turned, you know, he came to the league at 18, but he had that infamous 3 air ball game when he was like 19 years old in the playoffs. It took him a few years, and Russell Westbrook has now become one of the biggest beasts in the league. And I don't know. I mean, if you put KD on the court with 4 other guys or Russell Westbrook, I mean, we did have that 1 year, but Oklahoma City was not that great, and Russell Westbrook still got him 40 wins, tearing it up in the West, almost got in the playoffs. If they had a mature Steven Adams, a Victor Oladipo, something around him, I'm sure he would have made the playoffs, and we'll probably get to see that this year. But I'm not sure which guy is better. I know Kevin Durant's 7 foot, and it's so hard to find a great small forward. That's my argument with our good friend Connor Thompson when we had the argument. Would you take Leonard, Kyrie, or Anthony Davis? And I was saying Kyrie's not in the conversation.
He says,
first off,
no.
Not
no,
even as
Davis
good as Damian
Leonard.
Lillard.
Dude, I don't even know if I would take Damian Lillard over Davis or Leonard.
No, Anthony Davis, one thing I'll say about him is, you know, he's kind of fallen in my stock last year. I know he had a bum team, but he is so versatile. But when you have a guy like Leonard, Player of the Year, who shut down LeBron, already has a championship, and all he has to do is keep improving his offensive game,
which
in a
is
position
already
that's
pretty
so
damn
hard
good.
To find. And you know, being a Hawks fan, I know being a Lakers fan, it's so hard to find that dominant wing player. And that's what really, these days in the NBA, even back with Jordan and Pippen, and going back further than that with Larry Bird, it's so hard to find that great wing perimeter guy who can guard three or four positions. That's what makes the Leonards and the Paul Georges of the world so great and in a new big three conversation. But Russell Westbrook is another guy that can do that kind of stuff. I don't know where I'm going.
We're probably
going to
get cut off soon. Warning.
Yeah, but I was just going to say that you can't risk it with Russell Westbrook. But if you have the feeling he loves Oklahoma, and if you have the feeling, you have to start throwing out, hey, Russell, start texting Blake.
Who do you want? Are you going to ask
who do you want
to try and get?
Who do you want, and start texting them? And I think it's clearly Blake Griffin, because who else wants to go to Oklahoma City? Blake's from Oklahoma. I think the Clippers are clearly on a path where they're going to have I think they're going to fuse in, because those guys, Blake and Chris Paul, don't get along. They're both going to be free agents, Blake and Chris. I think Doc is just so overrated. Wesley Johnson's their starting small forward. I mean, come on, that's fucking horrible. He was on some very bad Lakers teams that didn't start. Let's just get that out there right now. They don't even have, I think, Paul Pierce coming back to be off the bench. But the Clippers, I think, definitely got worse this offseason. Blake Griffin has to be looking around the league and saying, there's a better situation out there. My teammates hate me because I punched somebody. And you got to have Russell Westbrook reach out to him.
And
I do think that, if you look at it, Andrew. DeAndre Jordan. I mean, I think Steven Adams might be better than DeAndre Jordan right now. And if you had Russell Westbrook instead of Chris Paul with Blake Griffin's
Jordan did take a huge step back. Clippers took step back in general.
And people are doubting how good Steven Adams is, how good Victor Oladipo is.
He reminds me of a Joakim Noah, the young Joakim Noah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the guy's
interesting is what's going to happen with Deion Waiters. They rescinded the offer. He's a free agent. I don't know if they're going to try
and
resign
why
him.
They did that? They
why did
that,
they do that
because they are saving money for a guy like Blake Griffin, or to re-sign Steven Adams, or to give Russell Westbrook more money, because a Deion Waiters is a guy you would bring back just to throw into a potential trade with Russell Westbrook.
Don't you feel like they would need to bring Waiters back if they were going to make a move for, I get